Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are we awake?
Yes.
Praise God. Pray for me. Father, thank you for your word. We bless you, Lord, for your word, that your written word reveals you, Jesus, the living word. We pray, Lord, that you would sanctify our hearts and our minds now, that we would hear that one word that you would speak to us today, that you would be glorified and your good work in each of us would continue individually and corporately as a congregation. We thank you, God, that you are on the move. You are on the move, Lord, so let us follow where you lead the way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, at 8 o'clock this morning, Dan texted me, and I was then, and he texted me, and he said something, great opening, hello kind sir, something like that, and whenever I see a text that begins that way, I think there's more coming. And the second line was, I thought I'd throw you a curve this morning. And so I had a chance to think about that for a few moments. Then came the next text, and we do need to pray for our brother and keep him in prayer, not only today, but throughout today and tonight and this week for God's healing. But also Dan said, you know, it's in your wheelhouse. I think you ought to preach this morning. And I always like that positive approach, you know? And so we thank the Lord for that, and we pray that God will speak this morning to all of our hearts. The scripture I want to look at comes from 2 Chronicles 26. And in this passage, it's talking about King Uzziah. And it reads, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father Amaziah. He was the one who rebuilt Elath and restored to it after Amaziah rested with his ancestors. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jechaliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. Now it goes on to verse 16. We'll jump there. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord, his God, and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah, the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him in. They confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not right for you, King Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord." Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry. While he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead. So they'd hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. The question I was wrestling with at 8 this morning was, is it ever possible that being blessed by God can be a problem? Can being blessed by God be a problem? Just being vulnerable today, and might as well get it out of the way, some of my history. But I was raised at St. Luke's, this congregation. I came here when I was in high school. And it was really a great time because Claudia and I were able to begin fostering a relationship that led eventually to marriage after a few detours. And in that process, I came to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior at Ashland College at the time, now Ashland University. I was filled with the Holy Spirit at St. Luke's. And Chuck Irish, then rector, became my mentor. And he was my mentor leading up to the time of going to seminary and after being ordained. And so I really thank God for that experience. But one of the things that happened in my process with the Lord was there was this moment that I began to hear God calling me to ordination. And I was kind of overwhelmed by that and kind of ran from it. And but Claudia and I started to hear God very clearly say we were called. And so the vestry of St. Luke's at that time came and they laid hands on us and said, "We believe you're called to seminary also and to ordination." So in the process, in the Episcopal Church at that time, you then met with the bishop. And the bishop at that time was John Burt and had a great time with him, and he thought we were called also. And then came the moment that I had to meet with the standing committee of the diocese, and that was the committee that had a lot of power on whether you went to seminary or not or moved towards ordination or not. And in the process, one of the questions they asked me was, "Do you speak in tongues?" Well, I was really new to this. I had been confirmed in the Episcopal Church for a very short time, and my whole experience of the Episcopal Church at that time was at St. Luke's. And so I kind of assumed all Episcopal churches were like St. Luke's. Why not? And so when the question was asked, "Do you speak in tongues?" my reaction was, "Doesn't everyone?" And so you get the picture? So Claudia and I are at this huge table with the higher ups all gathered around in their collars. And as soon as I said that, I thought, this isn't going well. This is not going well. And I have to say, sadly, there's kind of a pride and arrogance that was operating in me. And so later, when the standing committee said, "Scott, we don't think it's time for you to go to seminary. You need some more seasoning." And so immediately, I called the president of the standing committee, and I said, "I need to meet with you again." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "Because you haven't heard the Lord. You haven't heard the Lord." And he said, "I'm sorry, Scott, that's not going to happen." I said, "But it needs to happen. It needs to happen because you haven't heard the Lord. We need to meet again." And he made it clear that he thought he had, and that this was going to interfere with my future quite a bit. It did, but by God's grace, we came through it. This is one of the problems that King Uzziah was dealing with. King Uzziah had been instructed in the fear of the Lord. And it said that for King Uzziah, God granted him great success. He granted him great power, great authority. He was defeating Israel's enemies left and right. He was doing the work of God, and God was blessing it so much. But the problem for King Uzziah was that he came to a place where he thought it was him. It was about him. And so King Uzziah became one who was suffering from pride and the spirit of entitlement. I'm entitled to do what I'm doing because it's about me and I'm special. That was the same spirit, actually, that was operating in Satan. If you look back in Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 14, it talks about Satan and how it was this spirit of entitlement and pride that led to his downfall. That led to his downfall. When I was a senior in college, there was this freshman, and he was a guy that I was kind of his big brother to as a new Christian. He was a new Christian. And towards the end of my senior year, he came to me and he said, "Scott, I need to ask your forgiveness." And being the spiritual man of God, I of course said, "Of course. What do you want forgiveness for?" And he said, "Well, it's so bad, I can't tell you." So bad, I can't tell you. And I said, "Well, I really need to hear." And he said, "Well, I've been talking about you behind your back all year." And I said, "Of course, I forgive you." Well, I started thinking about that. And I went to his dorm and I said, "That's not good enough. You need to tell me what you've been saying behind my back this whole year." And he said, "It's so bad, I can't tell you." I still don't know. But in heaven, okay, I won't go there. But the thing was, I was confronted with this, and I was indignant. I am this person that is in campus leadership as a senior on campus. I'm entitled to be respected. I'm entitled to be appreciated. I'm entitled to be, oh God, revered. And oh God, have mercy. And so all of this stuff, and again, it's this thing where God blesses, but the blessing sometimes can become a thing of, I'm entitled, I'm special. How do you find out if that spirit is operating? Well, the easiest way is to find your reaction to when things aren't done your way. The time that you've worked really hard and no one has acknowledged it. The time you have been about a work of God and you know it's a work of God, but no one seems to appreciate it. The sign of entitlement and pride operating is when my response to a certain situation, I become angry and bothered, just like King Uzziah did. Just like I did when the standing committee didn't do what I wanted them to do. I became angry. That's one of the beginning signs that there's a problem of pride, or of an expectation of being appreciated in some special way. The truth is that when we read Romans 3, 10 through 12, it points out to us that no one is what? Righteous. No one is righteous. The truth for you and me is there is no one righteous. The sin of Adam is passed on to everyone. Everyone has fallen. Everyone has fallen. But the good news is that it's the grace of God that saves us, right? The grace of God makes us people that are forgiven. The grace of God causes us to be sons and daughters, to be adopted into the family. It's the grace of God that fills us with the Holy Spirit. It's the grace of God that nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's all about the grace of God, nothing that I have earned or I deserved. Everything comes through the grace of God that is yours and mine, and God loves to pour it out. But the Lord also reminds us that it's the grace of God. that whatever I am, whatever I do, it's the Lord. It's not me. It's the Lord. And all that I'm doing is being obedient to allow the grace of God to flow through me and manifest its presence to me. I love 2 Kings 5:1. This is the last passage we'll look at. And in this passage, it talks about Naaman. And Naaman being healed of leprosy. And Naaman was a fellow that was healed of leprosy and was going to be. And he had leprosy, and so he was trying to figure out how to get healed. And so through a number of circumstances, he ends up before the great prophet. And the great prophet doesn't come out to heal him. The great prophet sends some other people. And Naaman thought, you know, I'm an important guy. God needs to heal me in this certain way, right? And so the word that came to Naaman that he was supposed to go and dunk himself in a river a number of times. And Naaman thought, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. That's not the way I expect to be treated if I'm going to be healed. But he finally relents and humbles himself, and God heals him. When I was in college, I was deathly ill this one time, and I insisted that God was going to heal me a certain way because I claimed it. I did all the stuff I could think of, religious stuff, and I was claiming scripture, and I was having brothers and sisters pray for me. I was determined that God was going to heal me a certain way, but I kept getting worse, and I thought, oh, what the heck? I'll go over to see the campus doctor. On my way across the parking lot, I was healed. What's that about? I was entitled to be healed a different way. I was entitled to be healed the way I wanted to be healed, and God said, humble yourself. Humble yourself before me, and I will handle it. I will handle it. There's such a need for this word today, I believe, because we live in a world that is trying to take control, and we're trying to get control of life and control of society and control of the church and all these things. And the Lord's saying, just come before me, humble yourself under my mighty hand, and I will lift you up. Confess your pride. Confess your spirit of entitlement. Confess it. And realize that it's only the Lord who does the good stuff in me. It's not because of me, it's because of Him. Let's pray. Father God, you have blessed us in so many ways. You just, Lord, every day there's more of you, more of your grace, more of your love, more of your power. We experience our lives being changed. We experience seeing you in the midst of worship, in the midst of praise. And Lord, with all these things, we're so grateful, but we also confess there are times that it leads to us feeling that we are entitled to certain things. There can even be a spirit of pride that can rise up in us, Lord. And God, we're sorry for that. And we just want to tell you today that we acknowledge that you are everything. That we are only created by you, we are loved by you, but we are fallen, we are sinners, we are broken. And that every good thing comes from you, not from us. We pray, Lord, that as we continue to move into new seasons of walking with you, Lord, that Lord, as we see your power and your love and the wonderful things of you, that Lord, you would keep us in a place of humility, that we would not fear or not forget the fear of the Lord, that we would not forget how awesome you are and how powerful you are, and that would lead to us humbling ourselves under your mighty hand, that you would lift us up. Thank you, Lord, for all these things that you're about. We bless you, and we pray it all through the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.